This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
On November 5th, 2013, voters in the Jack Jewett Magisterial District go to the polls to elect their representative on the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. This recording is Brian Wheeler's September 23rd interview with independent candidate Philip C. C's opponent is independent Diantha McKeel.
Mr. C, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlottesville Tomorrow. The complete audio and written transcript for this interview will be available online. Information from this interview will be used in the compilation of the Nonpartisan Voter Guide being co-produced by Charlottesville Tomorrow, The Daily Progress, and the League of Women Voters. Charlottesville Tomorrow does not endorse any candidates, and our goal is to provide information to the public so they can make an informed vote on issues primarily related to land use, transportation, public education, and community design. As you are aware, some of the questions you will be asked have been provided in advance, others have not. All supervisor candidates will be asked the same questions. We ask that you keep these questions confidential until all candidates have been interviewed. Each candidate will be provided an opportunity to review the excerpts selected for the voter guide before its publication. Are you ready to start?
Yes.
Question number one. Please describe your past experience that qualifies you to be on the Albemarle Board of Supervisors.
I have been a public servant for 28 years. I've worked in law enforcement as a field officer, as a juvenile probation officer. I worked in public education for 13 years as a teacher, coach, administrator. I worked in both the middle schools and the high schools. I have been in the executive director and director of a public nonprofit since 2006. I've worked at entry level to mid level and somewhat upper management positions. And in going through those levels, you learn to work with many people from various backgrounds and fields of knowledge. I believe that you can better solve problems by discussing and talking with people, not talking at people. I've learned in my experience, and in speaking with the voters, there's this gap between those that do and those that decide. And I feel that my experiences can help reduce that gap and say, hey guys, have you thought about this? Let's have a conversation. I think we can solve this problem. So, and this is what I've learned, and I feel that I can contribute this to county leadership.
Question number two. What is your top priority for action by the Board of Supervisors if you are elected?
Well, a specific action, I'm not going to narrow it to that, but I'm going to take this from the broader sense, and I hope you'll indulge me here. And that is basically getting more people, residents, involved with the process of local government. Most have one topic concerns, but having a general knowledge of how the process works, you know, from the individual, how it's affecting them, to their family, to their neighborhood, getting that conveyed properly to staff and even to the Board of Supervisors, I think help brings a more informed and collaborative outcome and hopefully creates an understanding or at least a blueprint for the community to sit there and go, okay, I have an issue. This is how we can start discussing this issue and hopefully bring about resolve to this issue. And I think it will actually, in time, reduce solving issues, you know, where everybody starts from point one. At least there's a sense, okay, I have this issue. This department deals with that. Let me speak with that department first. Okay, then you go, it's getting the folks to understand where their problem can be solved as opposed to just griping about it openly. It's giving them a chance to get involved in the process. And I think when there's more stakeholders and more people involved, you get some really good solutions.
Question number three. Do you support the construction of the Western Bypass of US 29? Why or why not?
Well, I'm going to be short and to the point with this one. As I understand it, this is a done deal. So we're going to move forward, and I'm moving forward. If elected, I will work hard to make sure that this construction the impact of this construction is reduced on the landowners and business owners, especially with noise, water runoff, to make sure that they are protected, because that was a concern to mine when this whole thing started. And you know my history with VDOT. I can never get a straight answer as to how the property that I lived on, which was going to be impacted by this bypass, how it was going to be protected. And those answers have got, the public has got to be aware of that and be involved in that. So with that addressed, it's just, we need to make sure there's minimal impact. We're moving forward, and it's just take care of our property owners as we get this road built. Make it the best road possible.
Question number four. Name one specific area of the county budget that you are concerned about and tell us why, and do you think it deserves more funding or less?
Being from a law enforcement background, that was my first job, and I did that for 6 years. My concern is public safety. I'm being told that we don't have enough officers on the street as far as law enforcement. I'm getting, and as I get into it, I'll find out more about it, but mixed information on, do we have enough fire protection? Do we have enough emergency services protection? But we've got to be safe. This community has to be safe first. And I feel that, you know, we need to make sure we have adequate personnel, and the personnel that we have are adequately trained and retrained to serve our population. And we have, we have a diverse population. So, you know, it can't be one model of training that's going to address everything. And we have to be prepared for incidents and situations that communities all across this country are facing every day. Whether, unfortunately, you know, and please not be here, whether it's mass shootings, whether it's hostage situations, potential terror threats, natural disasters, how do we handle them? How do we communicate? We just have to be safe, and our residents have to be involved in that safety.
Question number five. Are the cash proffers paid by residential real estate developers too much, too little, or just about the right amount to contribute to the cost for community infrastructure?
I'm still studying this. I've been doing a lot of reading on the internet. Neil Williamson wrote a very informative article recently. I've talked with landowners. I've talked with business owners. It seems to me that this needs to be an open discussion and not just decided by, you know, a small group of people. And it needs to be a discussion with county staff, the Board of Supervisors, landowners, business folks, real estate folks, and their interests need to be heard. And I think that everybody can get in a room and really figure out what the common ground here is and decide if we want this, how much do we want, or do we not want it at all.
Question number six. If real estate tax revenues increase, should Albemarle lower its property tax rate? Why or why not?
Property taxes, taxes. That's a wonderful subject. Glamorous, isn't it not? There's a big misconception about the public about what their tax dollars pay for. As I have been a public servant for many years, I have a greater understanding of this. The taxpayer just wants to make sure that their money is going for what it's supposed to go for. So with that said, it's important that the public understands what the rate is, why we have it, and what it pays for, more importantly, the core essential services. And if there is fairness to each socioeconomic group, and then, you know, especially with those that own a fixed income.
Question number seven. What is the best example to date of Albemarle County's neighborhood model form of development, and why do you like it? And a follow-up, what improvements could be made to our community's placemaking efforts?
Well, we all know a model or a point of reference is a good start. However, I don't think we should be locked into one size or one model that we apply to all situations. I have seen the Old Trail model. That looks awesome. But how many of us can afford to live in that situation? Will that a model work in another situation? So with that said, being flexible and in tune with the environment, the land, the given location, I think is very important, to how a community or a neighborhood develops and how it can sustain itself.
Question number eight. Business leaders and social service agencies have told the Albemarle Board of Supervisors that new investments are sorely needed in the area of early childhood education. Will you make pre-K education and quality child care a priority, and if so, how?
It will definitely be one of my priorities. Being from an education background, I see the advantage of getting young people involved in education-type programs, whether it's to learn a skill or whether it's to socialize. For example, I know that we have partnerships, and from what I understand, money has increased over the past several years from the board to these programs. I know that there are partnerships with the Boys and Girls Club, a fine organization. There's partnerships with the First Tee. You know, the First Tee of Charlottesville actually does programs for the Enterprise Center. We also, the First Tee does programs for children 5 to 6, and it's when you watch a child that comes to the program first time at the age of 5, whether they attend a 6-week session or whether that you see them 12 or 18 weeks throughout the year and then on in as they get older, you see how that initial involvement, understanding the structure, and watching them grow and develop, it's just, it gives them more experiences, it gives them more opportunities. And you just, it's really neat to see it happen, and it's got to happen.
Question number 9. How would you describe the challenges and opportunities facing Albemarle County's rural farms, fields, and forest?
As I understand it, 5% of our 736 square miles is designated for growth areas, and the rest is to remain rural. And then obviously there's a balancing act between the rights of property owners with what they want to do with their property and their neighbors. And as I understand it, there are tax incentives to keep large tracts of land rural, which is the ACE program. So it's a balancing act. There are development areas, development. There are areas that it's not for development, but say the landowner changes their mind. So again, it's a balancing act, and there needs to be a mechanism to just, you know, work with your neighbor. Too many times I find folks that want to do something, if they just walk across the street and say, hey, this is what I would like to do here. Can I have you support it? Do you have some suggestions? How do you think will it impact you? How will it not impact you? And just having those conversations, you'd be surprised. There's the old saying, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. I think in certain times, it's, you know, the more people you can get on board with your cause, sometimes you get more answers and more opportunities to further your cause along.
Question number 10. Describe a part of local government that would benefit from increased city and county cooperation and that you would make a priority.
I think as a city employee, and I've been a city employee since 98, I have a unique perspective on this. And then having run the First Tee through Parks and Rec since 2002, for example, in Parks and Rec, there is the county has certain services that it can provide that the city doesn't. We have certain services that the county doesn't. And we actually work really well together to blend those services and provide them for both city and county residents. So I would hope that if elected, I can take this opportunity, if it presents itself, work with our folks in the city and see what we can do, because it's no question about it. For example, there are certain city programs, a good majority of the participants are non-residents, and the same thing with the county. So again, instead of reinventing the wheel and each one having their own, we have something. If we can make it better, let's do that.
Philip C., thank you for participating in this interview.
You are so welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.